on Becoming of Age, the podcast. A cautionary tale. Listen to what they say, then do the opposite. Your hosts, Colin Flynn and John M. Craig.
John Michael Craig is on the road.
That's right. Traveling for work.
Yeah, how's that going?
It's cool. It's all right. I'm in Orlando, Florida. Well, right now I'm in Kissimmee,
Florida.
That is correct. I'm about 1,287 miles away from you in Cedar Rapids. We drove down here.
Yeah. See any gators? Gators yet?
No, I haven't seen any gators. Thank God. I don't want to see gators. It's been hot though, and the humidity has been a lot higher than I'm used to in the Northeast this time of year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been cold here, but I love that heat. That sounds good.
It's all right. It was raining this morning. Today, so I'm working for the PGA at the PGA merchandise show. It's my second year in a row working for Ray Rapkavage, the golf swing shirt guy. And today was demo day, which is you just go to a driving range and you let people hit golf balls, drive some balls wearing the golf swing shirt.
Gotcha. And for that? Is that like the PGA champs and all that stuff there? Or?
No, not exactly. No, it's just a bunch of brands promoting their stuff and like people that are involved in the golf world, golf pros, hobbyists, all kinds of different people just sort of that love golf. You know, some people to promote a brand and... Yeah, you pay for your booth. You get set up in the whole in the convention center in Orlando, and it's cool. It's Tuesday through Friday. Tuesday, which was today, was the demo day, and it started with some rain, and then we had a bunch of people. It was good, but I was out of the hotel at 7 a.m. and then we went over to the, after we wrapped up there, we went over to the convention center and had to deal with like Freeman and like getting our van. And it's like a whole thing. It's like forklifts all over the place. Union, can we come in now? Nope, they're on a break. Okay, that's cool. When can we get those pallets moving? It's like, okay, can we get a carpet? Because our flooring was run over and destroyed. Yeah, it's just a thing. It's like a thing. And it's fine. I got no problem with unions and the whole thing. But you just want to do what you want to do and get the fuck out of there.
It's just the way it works.
Yeah. So it was like a 12-13 hour day. And then we went out to dinner at a place called Delmonico's. And I drank. I needed to. I'm sick and feel weak and tired. But it was good.
Caught a little bug on the way down. Is that what you're saying?
Apparently, yeah. Yeah, and on the way down, so I drive a Dodge Ram. Myself and another guy, we drive this Dodge Ram, like, golf swing shirt.
Yeah.
Like, you know, wrapped thing that's, it's like white with orange letters. Golf swing shirt. And while we were in Savannah, Georgia, we almost got into a terrible car accident. Like,
really?
Oh, yeah. Really. It was scary as fuck. I was driving at the time, and it was, I was probably doing about 70, which is about as far as you can push this van. And we were in the middle lane, and two cars stopped. They didn't seem to hit one another, but one car did this weird sort of angle thing, stopped in the middle lane, and they were in the middle lane and the right lane on a diagonal, and the other car stopped. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I laid off the gas. And then I had no choice but to sort of like not slam on the brake, but like kind of try to ease on the brake and sort of swerve right. Now, I knew that my boss was behind me in his Cadillac Escalade. I didn't know who else was behind me. And we've got this thing packed. We've got two mannequins in there. We've got inventory. We've got these metal rods, like flags and stuff. The metal rods almost hit me in the head. The force of the shit. We had shit ratchet strapped and fucking bungeed. I was like, my heart was racing for a long time. I was like, holy fuck. But I reacted fairly well. But it's like, still, it's just like, and then the rest of the trip, these two fucking mannequins had their heads in the front seat. And it was just the whole fucking thing. But we survived.
Mannequin heads in the front seat. That's kind of weird. It's kind of a little
It was good. Yeah, yeah. So yeah. So it's been good. Then we went out to dinner. And myself and three 55-year-old guys flirted with some waitresses.
Yeah,
I didn't do the flirting. I don't do that thing. I was just being myself. So
Just fun. normal John. So
normal John.
The thing no today. Such thing. The thing today was that like a big drinking thing all day for like the people that were attending, or
no. I mean, there were people drinking at the show. I saw some Coors Lights and some mixed drinks, but we didn't drink. We were working all day. Not that I'd be opposed to drinking, but we were not. We were focused.
And then so tomorrow you the doors open and Public's in, and it's
tomorrow is the official day one of the Golf Swing Shirt, the PGA merchandise show, and it's I think they open up the doors at 9 a.m. and it's like the floodgates are open. And what they do is they're in this huge, it's the Orange Lake Convention Center, which is in Orlando, and the Golf Channel is there covering it live. Think of it like the Today Show live, stage and a whole thing. And last year, Ray, my boss, you know, the mannequin challenge was kind of not happening anymore. It was kind of like almost done. He had myself, he, his wife, his brother, his friend Greg, and me in the Golf Swing shirt. And we were right by the cameras of the live show doing the mannequin challenge, where we were wearing the Golf Swing shirt, which is like a fucking straight jacket with a big elephant trunk in the front and holding a golf club, and we were frozen. I felt like the biggest fucking douchebag ever. I was like, come on, let me get the fuck out of here. I want to get the fuck out of here.
I saw a couple of tweets that he had out, and you guys are Team Golf Swing or something. Is that what it is? Team Swing or what?
I don't know. Something like that. I mean, I've been not taking over his social media, but during the show, he's really focused on selling shirts.
Sure.
So, and he's kind of new to Instagram. Like, he's used Facebook and like promoting stuff on Facebook, getting sponsored stuff, and like he doesn't use Instagram. He does not use Instagram stories at all. And I think that for something like this, it's a good thing to use Instagram stories, because it's like you don't want it on your Instagram page all the time, and you can highlight it if you want. So I was trying to do that, but I was just trying to find a balance between overposting, doing some like Instagram live, figuring out how to push out Instagram. I'm no social media expert, but and I don't want to completely take over his fucking social media.
Then it's if it his. Works, you'll have to do it all the time.
Well, no, I don't mind doing it all the time. It's just, I don't know. It's just, he knows the world of golf better than I do. But I want the thing to be interesting and look good.
Right.
So, but I don't know. I mean, I think I have a better eye than he does, but I don't know. That might be meaningless. At the end of the day, like sponsored posts, I might not like them, but it may make sense when you're selling a product.
Yeah, it probably does. I mean, there's people, if you're really into golf, you know, people are like, we mentioned in the last show, that people are just really into buying the next cool thing, whatever that is. So, yeah, it probably makes sense.
Well, there are these two relatively young guys. They're probably, one guy's maybe in his late 20s, the other guy might be in his early 30s, and they're with the group, they're called the Tour Junkies. And the Tour Junkies, they have a podcast about golf and fantasy golfs. And we hooked up with them last year. And what they did was they partnered with this other company, 18 Birdies, and they did these, they interviewed people that had booths there. Mm-hmm. And it was very late night talk show where they would ask goofy questions. You'd be like, it was like they would name a pro golf player. I'd say a pro golf player or a cheese. And like goofy stuff like that, pretty funny. So they came to us today with a suggestion. So they wanted Ray to co-sponsor something where they were going to do a scavenger hunt. And basically they would get like people with personalities. Sorry. And they were going to have them do this thing where... My microphone is killing me. Yeah, I know. I'm not
falling apart. He's on the road.
I'm on the road. Look, I can't handle it, man. I miss my home and my cats and fuck. Yeah, yes. So anyways.
Cats right now are just tearing the house apart while you're gone.
That's right. So they want to do a thing where they have people like they'll be like, if you see a celebrity, you'd have to run up and go like, celebrity! And you'd have to yell it out loud, right? It's kind of embarrassing a thing. And if you win, you would get a Golf Swing shirt and a t-shirt from the Tour Junkies, right? Just goofy thing. And these guys want the contestants, and they would follow them around as they do this, you know, contest.
Right.
And they want them to wear the Golf Swing shirt in a goofy way, like with their hands through it, whatever. And Ray was on the fence with it. because he doesn't want to make it a joke, but he loves stuff like that. So I don't know, we'll see how it goes. But I like stuff like that because it's kind of a just an old school stodgy fucking industry, you know.
I was watching one of the, I think it was one of the posts you did on the way down there. You were driving, or maybe I was listening to that. It might have been something you did on Anchor or somewhere else. But anyway, you were driving along. You were listening to the radio, and you were talking. You heard the Stevie Nicks or Fleetwood Mac thing was on. You remember that when you were talking about that? Does that still ring a bell at all? You were blabbing about Stevie Nicks, and you were talking about the young Stevie, the old Stevie, and the young Stevie. Does that ring a bell?
I do remember talking about this. I don't even know how it came up. I was like, there, I was listening to regular radio like down in like Georgia or Florida, wherever, and I think Stand Back came on, or one of the songs came on, and it was just, yeah,
I had a flashback while you're talking about that, because I've told people about the young Stevie, and she, you know, I like, you know, a lot of us when we you know, age does its thing to people, and you know, she's not obviously young Stevie anymore, but man, when she was, that was quite a smoking woman. She was really quite the deal. I saw Fleetwood Mac. I went to this concert with these three guys. Actually, I think maybe there was four of us. I'm trying to remember exactly what was going on. But I was working with this guy. His name, his last name was Bainbridge. And he had a nickname. Everybody called him Brain Damage. And okay, this is a bad idea, getting in a vehicle with a guy named Brain Damage. But he had this van that he had just bought. It was a 62 Dodge panel truck that he had bought. And he had plans to restore it. It was not restored in any way, shape, or form. But he'd said, "Yeah, let's go down to this concert, and we'll check out." And I think it was going to be the bands were a band called Firefall, which had a couple of hits. I don't remember what they are. It was Loggins and Messina was one of the other bands. And then Fleetwood Mac, I think, was the three that were going to be playing. And so we were taking this old panel truck down to from where I lived near Sioux City. We were going to go, the concert was in Des Moines, so we were going to drive south to Omaha, and then east was the plan to go to Des Moines to this concert. And so we packed up all our stuff, whatever. And so I had Brain Damage was there. There was a guy we called the Dirty Dirt. Was his nickname. I'm not sure I even really can even remember his name, the Dirty Dirt. I think his last name might have been Nillis or something like that. And then there's another kid that was Bob Myler was his name, but he was a super skinny guy. We called him 98, which was short for 98-pound weakling, I guess was the thing there. And so we all packed in this vehicle, and we headed south to go down to this to the concert. And we're driving along, and there was a lot of weed that was being smoked in the van, in the back of the van, and this thing was kind of an old piece of crap, it just made sense. It seemed like a cool idea. If you Google that 62 Dodge panel thing, you'll see what they look like. But at any rate, so as we're driving along, we realized that we were traded drivers a couple times because everybody's had gotten pretty baked, and we were trying to get actually the minimum speed limit thing was an issue, trying to just get somebody that could drive fast enough on the freeway. And so as we were going along, we made this pact that one of the guys that was there, I don't remember which one, but I remember he was saying, there's this really excellent restaurant, and it's in a town called Minden, Iowa. And we have to stop at this restaurant. It's this place, and I remember, just clear as can be, he called it, the place was called the Buck Snort Restaurant.
That's an odd name.
Well, yeah, it was, he said it was themed Buck Snort. It was themed around, you know, hunting. There was like a bunch of deer heads hanging in there and all this kind of stuff. But he said it was just excellent. It was the best restaurant in the world. But first, we got to get to Minden, Iowa to get there. And so we had to changed drivers a couple times. And so in the course of all this, we got down to Omaha and we head towards Minden and we're going along and everybody's so baked. We're just kind of in this, you know, just phase of not time didn't mean much, I guess, is what's going on at this point. And it started to seem, though, after a while, though, that we started kind of figuring out that it was like, how far is Minden? We, you know, I was trying to ask this guy, and he's going, well, should have been. He goes, like, it's an hour from where we turned in Omaha. And we're like, well, when did we turn in Omaha? And nobody's quite sure. But we have this idea that it ought to be happening pretty quickly. And so guy that's driving looks over and he sees a sign. The sign says Minden. Okay. So ahead. We're headed in the right direction. Everything's fine. We just got to get to Minden. Well, what we didn't know was, at this moment, there's also Minden, Nebraska, which is in the opposite direction.
Uh-huh.
So when we're in Omaha, somehow, brain damage, I think, was driving. He
of course.
He got us off somehow in the wrong fucking direction, and instead of going east towards Des Moines, we were going west, and we were going across Nebraska. And so the hour that it should have taken to get to Minden, Iowa, and the buck snort, now we're like, we're close to 2 hours, something like that, and we're in Nebraska, not knowing, no fucking idea we're in Nebraska. We're convinced we're headed east, and we're in Iowa. And finally we see a sign that says Minden, and it's like 6 miles or some shit like that. And as we're coming up the ramp to figure out where we're at, we see another sign. The sign says something about Nebraska, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, what the fuck is that, man? Okay. We get off, take the ramp, go up to this Minden exit and figure out after looking around. And everybody, you know, kind of swearing at each other. And everybody's kind of stressed out and trying to figure this out. We had drove 2.5 hours in the wrong direction from Omaha. We're now in Minden, Nebraska, which was approximately 3.5 hours the wrong way from Minden, Iowa, which was, and still Minden, Iowa was probably another hour and a half to where the concert was supposed to be. So this was happening on a Saturday, and the night before, kind of the part of the backstory of the night before where we'd all got launched this plan to go see this concert, we'd all been at a bar the night before, and I didn't get a lot of sleep, I guess, the night before. I was feeling pretty rough. Got up in the morning, and we're doing our thing. So, all right, so we got to drive back. We got to turn around. So we're like, all right, enough. No more weed smoking. We got to get our shit together. We got to get our way back. Hopefully we'll make it. Everything will turn out fine. We just get going down the ramp, going back to go east, and the hood on this old Dodge panel truck lifts up and just flies, like, basically back and hits the windshield. Pops up. It's like comes unlatched. And so and it breaks the windshield and it's just a complete fucking disaster. And so we get out and we're standing there and the hood latch is all fucked up and it's just like kind of a big mess and trying to figure out what to do. And this farm guy comes by and he's like, maybe he goes, I'll go up to my house and see if I can get some kind of like wire or something. Maybe we can wire it down. I'll come back and he's going to help us out and everything, being really cool. But it's obvious we're going to be sitting there for a while. And so Farmer leaves with one of the guys. I think it was brain damage was the only one that went with him. And there's a couple of the rest of us were still sitting there. And he was just gone forever. It just took forever. And they finally come back. And he comes back and they're trying to wire the hood back up. And they get that wired up. And then we get back in the vehicle. And now the vehicle's won't. It won't start. I'm like, oh, fuck, you got to be kidding me. Vehicle won't start. So sitting there thinking, and I had, me and one of the other guys had already bought tickets. Two of us
didn't have tickets. How far away were you from the actual concert at this point?
Now from, it would have taken us probably 5 hours, 5 hour drive-ish, something like that, to get there. And so me and the other guy that had tickets, we decide we're going to hitchhike. We're going to stick our thumb out and see if we can get there. And we go down by the interstate. We stick our thumbs out to hitchhike. And the very first vehicle that goes by, it's a semi. And the guy fucking stops to give us a ride. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. And so we get in, climb up in the semi. And the guy is in the semi. And he's like, okay. He's super friendly. Hey, where are you going? We're headed to Des Moines. We're going to, you know, we get to Des Moines Fairgrounds, blah, blah, blah. And start telling him kind of what's going on. He's going, hey, I'm going through Des Moines, and when I get to Des Moines, I'm heading north. He goes, actually, where I'm going is I'm going right by there almost. I'm going to get you very close. It's not going to be a problem with this. So we get in there, and he takes off and starts, you know, he gets shifting up through his gears and gets up to highway speed. And we're thinking, this is great. We're driving in a semi. We're sitting in a semi, and this guy's going to get us all the way there. Okay, so he fucking reaches down underneath, like, under his leg somewhere and pulls out from under the seat. He's got a bottle of Gordon's vodka. So he's takes a jolt off this vodka, and he's...
Great.
Yeah, exactly. We're looking over at him like, what the fuck? And I realize this guy seems a little edgy. He's obviously... He's talking a lot, and he's got some shit going on, and he hands us here, have a jolt of the vodka, you know, have some vodka. So we both did take a little drink of the vodka, but I'm not drinking vodka out of a bottle. And just, it's like, okay, that's, yeah, a little much for where we've been. Just kind of want to keep an eye on the guy. But anyway, so he's driving along, and then he starts telling his stories, and he's like, he tells us, he goes, he said he's been driving for like, he's been on the road for, I don't know what he said, like 7 or 8 days, and he's hardly slept in those 7 or 8 days.
That's great.
He hasn't been keeping his logbooks the way he's supposed to. He tells us, just telling us this shit. You know, he's supposed to keep logs, and he goes, if I write down what I've really been doing versus what I'm supposed to be doing, you know, I'm going to get in trouble because you can't drive as much as I've been doing. He goes, I get paid a lot because I drive more than anybody else. And he's talking really fast. I'm thinking, this guy, there's more going on here than meets the eye. But and the fact that he's drinking a lot is not obviously very cool. So as we're going along, we drove with this guy for like 2.5. We got into Iowa, across the border, and we're in Iowa. And he's going along, and it was like when you get into the state, a lot of times they have those way stations where the trucks are you know, pull into.
Right.
He blows through, or just blows right by this way station. And we're both kind of looking around like, I thought he was supposed to stop at that thing.
Right.
And we get another, half mile down the road, and all of a sudden the lights are on behind us. And we're getting pulled over. And so he gets pulled over, and it's one of these trooper guys that just does the way station stuff and gets out, and they start, they get him out, and they start asking all kinds of questions and blah, blah, blah. And we're looking through the rearview mirror and looking out in the back. You know, it's actually getting dark out by now. We're thinking, what the fuck is going on? It's like, what, this guy? And so they're doing the, like, drunk test shit with him and everything, and then they come up to the truck. Can you fellas get out? We'd like to have a word with you. So we get out. So they think, he's drunk, obviously. They've got shit. They're pulling shit out of his pockets and stuff. And he's also, as it turns out, he's got cop shows him to us. He goes, you know anything about this? And he's got a bag, and it's got these trucker's whites. You ever heard of White Cross or trucker's whites?
No.
There's these, there's actually a rock song. There's a song Linda Ronstadt did where the lyrics are, give me weed, whites, and wine. Mm-hmm. This song's called
Is It Willing. Cocaine? What is it?
No, it's like speed. And there are these real little, tiny little tablet things that maybe, like, if you took like a baby aspirin and squashed it out flat, it would be about that, you know, just pretty small. And the idea behind them is they can take, you can take a couple, and it's maybe like a strong cup of coffee, but if you take, like 10 of them, you're not sleeping, obviously. So this guy's been eating these things and drinking vodka and just driving his ass off. And now he's caught, and we're with him. So they were under the impression maybe that we might have been driving too. Like we were, there's like this is a driving team or something or whatever. But,
yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
And so we showed him our licenses, and he was from like fucking Utah or some shit. I don't remember. And it was pretty obviously, we're from Iowa. He's from Utah. He was telling him the truth. He goes, I picked these guys up. Dude, they just need to ride. They had a car problem in Nebraska, and we're just going to give them a ride and blah, blah, blah. So, but it took forever. It took, like, we were standing there talking to this cop for a long time. And they ended up pulling up with, squad cars and taking him away. And then they were going to come get his truck. And so the cop is there, and he's going, can you guys make plans? Can you guys get a ride from here? And I was like, we're in the middle of fucking nowhere. He's like, no, I don't know how we're going to get a ride. And he's like, well, he goes, I can give you a ride up to the next, to the next exit, but you're gonna have to call somebody or make arrangements from there,
right?
But that's as much as I can do. So he takes us up to this next exit, and by now it's like, I don't know, it's probably like 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and we're like, what the fuck are we going to do? And I was like, there's nobody that we knew that's going to, you know, drive the 2 hours back to our, from where we lived. It would have been like a 2 hour trip to get somebody down there to pick us up. We're like, I don't know what the hell's going on. So he just drops us off by this, it was like this little truck stop gas station thing, just dumps us off and says goodbye. And so we look over, there's this campground that's one of these, they have tent camping and they've got, you know, all that kind of stuff that's right across from where we're at. And we're like, what the fuck? Let's just go over there. And we didn't have a tent or anything, but we went in and told the guy, we just want to sleep. We'll just lay on the ground, basically. The guy was taking money. And so we paid, it was like $5 or some shit like that for tent camping. So we went and did the tent camping without, we had nothing. We just laying there on the ground. But it was summer. It was like, all right. So it was, all right. Maybe I'm guessing out of the whole evening, the whole night, I bet I slept maybe another hour, if that. It's just like that. It's like, this is so fucking retarded. Like, we're trying to lay on the ground and sleep, and there was actually a lot of people that were kind of making noise. And as it turned out, the next morning when the sun came up and we started kind of wandering around a little bit, there was actually people that were in there camping that were headed to the concert the next day, which was good, which was going on actually on Sunday.
So, and, wait, you had tickets for Saturday?
No, we had tickets for Sunday, too, but we were trying to get down there a day early. And so we ended up talking to these people. They actually fed us. I remember they were wrapping hot dogs in, with bacon, and we were eating these hot dogs with bacon and talking to these people. They were like, all right, we'll give you a ride, because they were headed that way. So.
Right.
They give us a ride all the way to Des Moines to the concert. We get to the concert, and okay, so now in 2 days, maybe 2.5 days, I've slept maybe like 2 hours total. I'm just feeling like complete shit. And we're like, all right. When we get there, it's like, it seems like the biggest disaster in the fucking world. And I think it can't get any worse than this. It just possibly can't. I go into the bathrooms at this concert, and it was an outdoor thing by where they have the state fairgrounds. And so they got this big row of bathrooms they got porta potties, but they also got like a bunch of these like concrete block buildings that have bathrooms in them too. So I go in there to go to the bathroom, and I come back out and I start looking around for the people that I'm with. I can't find anybody. They're just like fucking gone. And I just, you know, this is like pre-cell phone, where, you know, everybody's walking on cell phones. I'm just, they're gone. I can't see anybody. This is like, okay, I'm at this concert now. I've just gone through hell to get here. And suddenly I'm standing there all by myself. It's like, what the fuck? It's like, I can't believe it. So I go into the place, and I give them my ticket, start just trying to kind of wander around, look for these guys, which I did for a while. Ended up getting towards the back part. It was the general admission things with, you know, just stand-ups, you know, just where, whatever, you know, when you're going to get into the show, you're just going to stand where you will. And I see this guy. It's a friend of mine's older brother that is there, and this guy had been in the Navy for like, he was about 4 or 5 years older than me. He'd been in the Navy for like 4 or 5 years, and I knew who he was, but he didn't really know me, so I just went over and I said, hey, you're Mike's big brother, aren't you? He's like, yeah. And this guy was kind of nuts. He goes, he's like, we're up by the front of the stage. We're in the very, very front, me and my friends. And I was looking at this crowd, and it was just packed. And I was like, how are you going to get up there? I don't understand. I have no idea how you would get all the way to the front now that you're back here. And he goes, I got a method. This is how it works. Just hang on to each other's belt loops. There's like, he had a couple friends with him, some of the guys that he was with. He goes, hang on to your belt loops. Everybody hook belt loops. He goes, I'm going to get in front. And when the crowd parts, just come right behind me. Follow me as fast as you can. And so what he would do is he would wiggle his way all the way up to through the crowd as hard as he could until he couldn't go any further. And he would wait for a second and he'd yell, I'm going to puke. And he'd like make this puke thing. And then everybody would be like, the sea would part for like, you know, 15, 20 feet, and we'd all shoot ahead. He did this like 5, 6, 7 times, and by the time we were done, we were literally at the front, at the very front of the concert. We're like right by the stage. And right when we got there, just rolled up, stood there for a second, and I thought, damn, this took a lot. And Fleetwood Mac comes bouncing out on the stage. I remember Stevie Nicks, young Stevie, just out there with her top hat on. She had that black dress she used to wear. You know, this is like, I don't know, she's like 26-year-old Stevie Nicks playing a tambourine on her ass. It was like the most, yes, the best looking thing I'd seen ever, it seemed like at that point. But God, talk about hell getting there. And I ended up going back. And the original people I was with, they didn't even get back with anybody. I ended up going back with this friend of mine's older brother, rode back to town with him. I was so tired after that whole thing was over. It was just like ridiculous. But I made it. I lived.
I don't think I've ever had an experience like that. I've never hitchhiked. I've never seen young Stevie. I've never seen old Stevie.
Stevie the Hutt, she kind of turned into.
Yeah, I don't think she got that big, did she?
For a while. I think she kind of got her shit back together. But I think she blasted a lot of cocaine for a while. And then, I don't know, when she finally got through rehab, she put on a few LBs for a while. But I think, yeah, she looks pretty good lately, I guess, you know.
Speaking of putting on LBs, so I'm down here in Florida, and I'm with Ray, the golf swing shirt guy, and his brother. And every time we come down here, it's fucking Orlando, Florida, and we eat this shitty food. Like, we, you know, we go to fucking Hooters, and we go here. And, you know, I've been trying to be a pescatarian, a vegetarian, and not that I fucking make good choices and eat good food all the time, but I just don't want to fucking eat meat. I'm just not in the mood to eat it, right? It's not an ethical thing. It's just, I don't know. I just don't want it. The first fucking day we get down here, McDonald's. And I fucking walk into McDonald's, and I order a fucking, it was an egg white delight McMuffin. Now, they've got these LED screens up at the front, and they scroll through the different menus, like the different McMuffins, and it goes from black to red. And when it's on red, they show a picture of it. Well, every other McMuffin shows that there's sausage. So I can read. The fucking egg white delight did not have fucking meat listed. So I get my egg white delight, and it's got fucking Canadian ham on it, Canadian bacon. And like, I was like, so I go back and I'm like, I'm not trying to complain. It's the worst fucking idea to complain at a fucking McDonald's. And these two fucking guys, Ray and his brother Jim, they give me shit. They tell people when I go in how high maintenance I am and how difficult. And I'm like, shut up. They call me Gail. I'm like, honestly, shut the fuck up. Like, I don't have any food allergies. I can eat whatever the fuck I want. But I'm fucking particular. And guess what? I don't care how little money I make. I don't want to fucking eat at McDonald's ever. Like, it don't. It's just one of those things. It's not good. And there are better options out there. And of course, it's like the woman, like, was kind of like defensive. And I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. Like, it's this downward spiral. And I've never had coffee at McDonald's. And I order a fucking iced coffee. And I very tentatively ask, I didn't even ask, do you have almond milk? I'm like, do you have any, like, non-dairy creamer? Because I'm like, fuck. So last night, so we got down here on Sunday night, okay? It's Tuesday night now. And last night, after working, we went to a Publix. After dinner, we went to a fucking Hooters. It was fucking shit. You know, the girl that works there, like, fucking guys that go there and think they're... It's like, the girl that worked there is fucking 17. It's like, yeah. And she looks like a burn victim with her fucking stockings. Or, like, she has prosthetic fucking legs. It's not fucking hot. She's a baby. Not because I have a fucking daughter. Because... You're a sick, twisted fuck. I love the wing. Shut the fuck up, you asshole. You're a creep. You need to get divorced from your wife and stay away from young girls and never eat at Hooters again, you fucking disgusting man. And so after Hooters, Ray's like, I forgot something. I thought he forgot his phone or something at Hooters. Or who knows what the fuck. And we go to a Publix. He wanted to get coffee and a couple of other things. We go to the Publix on the way out. There's a giant fucking scale, like giant, like old school, goes up to like 250 pounds, you know, like it's got the, like the red, you know, metal, like, yeah, meter. Yeah. And it's fucking giant. It doesn't cost any money. Now, I weighed myself about a week and a half ago, and I was probably ballpark between 173 and 176. each of them gets on the fucking, you know, scale. I'm not the heaviest guy, but I'm also the shortest guy at 5'7". I was on the scale. It's fucking 185. I fucking lost my shit. I was fucking livid. I haven't been anywhere near that since before my stroke. And I'm like, motherfucker, I'm so angry. So I barely ate today. I fucking ate like fucking oatmeal with almond milk. And then I had an orange at like, that was at 7, like 6:30 in the morning. And then fucking an orange at like 6 o'clock at night. And then I just had like a green salad entree with grilled salmon. But a lot of drinks. I had a few drinks.
Hmm. So you think you're ballooning up because of the just the fast food is...
Well, that's not helping. It's not helping at all. I'm kind of sedentary. And the other thing is I have the flu. So sure. I don't know where it came from. It just came on like two nights ago. I haven't slept well the last two nights. And anyone that pays attention to this fucking podcast, these mics pick up everything. I've been so restless. I've been like laying on the floor while you were telling your story. I listened to everything, but I'm fucking, I'm laying in bed right now because I'm so achy. Like I can barely, I feel weak. I'm not trying to be a pussy. I'm just, this is the second time I've had the flu this season. Mm. And both times it did the same thing to me.
So did you get a flu shot?
No, I don't.
No, you're like, I don't believe in the flu shot.
It's not that I don't believe. It's just every time I've gotten a flu shot, it makes me feel sick. And it doesn't always seem to ward off the flu. It just kicked my ass. And apparently Kylie got it and it kicked her ass too. And she stayed home from school today. And I just feel like shit.
That's a bad way to be at a trade show. It really is.
It sucks. It's really challenging because I'm like, it's easy, relatively easy work, but all I have to really do is shoot photos and videos, and every now and again work the booth and like you know sell shirts, or at least pay attention because you don't want to lose like a potential customer when they come up to the booth, right? Because there's only a limited number of us, and you know, you don't know. It's like whether or not someone, and we've got a weird fucking product. It looks like a fucking straitjacket.
Yeah, you know? I saw the video.
Yeah, it is what it is. But a lot of people think it's stupid. There's a lot of ego in golf, and they don't. Well, I'm not going to use that fucking thing, you know. So it's been a. I mean, whatever. I'm not complaining. I'm very happy to be working this week, and happy to be here. You know, it was like 80 degrees today. It's like.
Great weather. Sounds great.
Yeah, it's good. It's although I don't think I can live in Florida. I don't know.
You know the problem with Florida generally is Floridians.
Well, yeah, that's
a lot of crazy fucking people, you know.
Yeah, every now and again you get like former New Yorkers that might be interesting or cool, but now they live in Florida, and it's just weird. Like
it's like the white trashiest state in the United States.
It seems that way. Yeah. I mean, because of Miami and a couple of other places in Florida, you don't think that, but it'd be like Jacksonville and fucking these other towns. You're like, holy fucking white trash! It's like scary.
Yeah, you get a lot of Jacksonville. You got military bases and that sort of stuff going on. But I'm not saying military is white trash at all. But I'm just saying that there is an element that tends to stick around or somehow feed off that base environment or that base economy in some of those places.
Right.
And if you're up in the panhandle up there around Destin, I think there's some sort of a big training facility, another Air Force or something facility up there. So yeah, there's a lot of payday loan shit, a lot of all that kind of car title junk going on all over. There's like a zillion pawn shops. You know, there's all these, you know, gators in the backyard and people trying to wrestle them or show them to you or wrestle them for you or sell you gator meat or, you know, just fucking all kinds of crazy shit. Just like, what?
There was a guy when we were at that Publix and we went onto that scale. We were making a big thing. There were four of us and we each got on the scale. And after we were done, this guy who had to be in his like 70s, he was probably a Korean War vet, but he may have been a Vietnam vet. And he was with his son, who looked like he was in his late 20s. He could have been early 30s, but late 20s. And they walked out, and the son wanted to get on the scale, but he looked with his blank stare. right? Like the son's girlfriend or wife walked out into the parking lot and the son walks up to it. And the dad is very sweet. My friend Ray says, thank you for your service. Whatever he's talking is fine. And the son just a blank stare gets on the fucking scale. My friend Ray from right behind him takes his foot and steps on the scale right between his legs and puts another like 15, 20 pounds on it. And I'm telling you, like, I'm like,
we used to do that kind of crap in wrestling when I was in wrestling in junior high and high school. We'd either do that sort of thing to mess with somebody, or there was also a cheat thing that used to go on where you'd have somebody on the scale and there'd be a couple coaches around, and I'm trying to remember who all had to be in the room when they did the official weigh-ins. But there would be several people watching the thing to make sure it was on the up and up. What we would do is somebody would get behind the person who was getting weighed, and as everybody's leaning into the scale to try to, you know, get the view of what the weight's going to be, they're kind of invading that person's space anyway. It's not like everybody's standing, you know, 10 feet away or anything. And as we're all leaning in, we would sometimes have somebody that would reach up and try to hook one finger kind of underneath the guy's ass cheek. Just kind of just lift just a little bit just to give him so he could make weight. It's like, I don't think I can make it. You got to give me a lift. And so somebody would get behind and they'd pull it off sometimes. It worked. Nobody ever got caught. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was. But the kid was not, I mean, the kid was very sweet, but he didn't seem very smart. It was just like, you know, it wasn't a lot of weight, but I just looked at Ray. I was like, come on, please stop. Like, you have to stop.
He figured it out. You guys were goofing on him, yeah.
Well, because I kind of let the cat out of the bag. Because the father thought it was funny.
Yeah.
He thought it was pretty funny.
So the kid was ex-military, you think, or the dad was?
No, the dad was. I don't know if the kid was. I mean, I hope. I mean, if he was, I don't know. I mean, maybe you don't have to be intelligent to be in the military. I don't know. I have no idea. And I'm not, you know what? I'm not, the truth is I shouldn't be judgmental. I mean, just this one singular moment doesn't tell me that he's not. Intelligent. I don't know.
Yeah. I tried to binge watch one of those Ken Burns documentary things that they're like, you know, 8-9 parts and they're 2 hours each. And I watched the one on World War II and I didn't get through all of it. I think I probably watched like, I bet I watched 6 or 7 of them though. Wow. All I have to say is, when you watch that epic documentary about World War II, you realize that every generation since, we're just not worthy. We suck. We're
the greatest fucking generation, man.
Oh fuck, man! They went through so much. I mean, it's just amazing. They have the whole front that went through out in the Pacific Islands, then the European theater and all that stuff that went on, and how long it was and how many people got just fucking massacred, and how and then just back home, all the shit that went on back home with all the war effort, the women going to work and working in factories and all the shit that went on, and you know, the separation from, you got separated from somebody and you had no fucking idea what was going on, where they were, whether they were alive, whether they were dead. It took, you know, a lot of times it would take months before somebody actually got notified as to whether somebody was even at a certain battle or whether they survived it. I was like, I was looking at this, I was going, America is fucking great. Fuck you, Donald Trump. It never wasn't. And anybody that thinks it isn't should watch this fucking documentary. And the other part that came out of it was every country in the fucking world can kiss our ass in a way, because we literally saved the motherfucking world in such a major, epic fucking way. It was like incredible.
That's what I was thinking about that time. It's like, that is the one thing that'd be like, that is why we are who we are, where we are a superpower, because we saved the fucking world. That's it. That one moment. I'm telling you, when I lived in London in 2000, and what's going on with my voice? What the fuck is that? Like, I'm sick. It's like, in 2001, after September 11th, after the terrorist attack, I moved to London with my then wife, who's now my ex-wife. And I'm going to tell you, when we met, like, baby boomer Brits,
And they found out we were from America, especially after September 11th. They loved us. They're fantastic. They would, they love, like, they appreciated and knew, like, you know what I mean? It was a different thing. Younger generation, not so much. But it was like they had this memory of, like, no, America. Like, I mean, if you think about it, we're like in central fucking London, that city was fucking bombed. It was like people would get up and go to work while they were being bombed. You
over
know?
And over. Over
yeah,
and over,
yeah. I mean, and I'm not trying to dismiss September 11, 2001. It's a singular moment, but could you imagine being in a war where your country's being attacked and you just get up and go to work? Fucking crawl into a hole. I'm like, I'm going home.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Is there a bunker? Do we have a bunker? I'll talk to my super. Hey,
yeah.
Where's the bunker at? Do we have a bunker? I'm going to say that to him when I get back. I'm going to come back. I was like, yeah, I just got back from the Gosling shirt, Joe. And at no context, I'm thinking about moving out unless we have a bunker. If we have a bunker, I don't know, man. I'm worried. It's like the panic room. Is there a panic room? Will you let me in the panic room?
As I was watching this and getting, you know, I was gaining a lot of respect for what America went through. But then I was also thinking, okay, the idea now that there's so many people that you know have lost that context entirely, that they can't even they don't even have an idea of what even actually happened. Okay, if you look back, it's been so that was the war started in what, like 1940, so that was 60. That was almost like 77 years ago. Okay, so prior to the World War II breaking out, if you go back 80 years, so about the same period of time, that was the Civil War. So, you know, I guess we're, you know, you have the Civil War, then 80 years later, you have this other big fucking thing that's about, you know, a similar death count. So it's, I guess, yeah, there's a lot of people that don't have an idea, the generations that don't have an idea. And there's the, and I, again, I was just going back to the idea that we're all pussies. We've you know, we complain about shit that, you know, we all right, you know, just it is what it is, but for crying out loud, those guys they did save the world in
what,
quite a way.
What about that war from like 106 years ago, the War of 1812? When was that? It was 106 years ago. I have no idea. I don't even know who we were. I don't know. I'm not a big history guy, but I just don't geek out on it. But have you ever played Call of Duty World War II?
No, I haven't actually. And I listened wow. to it too. I listened intense. To several podcasts this week that I was trying. I'm still trying to find
the right one. Spirit.
Yeah, I'm trying to find, you know, some ones that are maybe, you know, we can share some audience with and that sort of thing. But a lot of gaming stuff comes up, and if you're into that, I can understand why people gaming, wrestling. When I say wrestling, not collegiate wrestling, not
like
real
WWE,
wrestling, WWE,
World Wrestling Federation, now WWE,
a lot of that stuff, a lot of gaming, a lot of comic books, there's a lot of that kind of shit, geek culture, whatever that means, kind of stuff out there, but
right,
yeah, I'm not really, never gotten into in a major way into any kind of gaming.
Well, this game, which I've only played like twice. So my son Cameron is, you know, he's 15 and he's got a Sony PS4 at my place. And I rented the game at like a Redbox. And his mom's not really big into him playing those types of games. Oh my God, it's so fucking intense. It starts at Normandy Beach. I could not get very far at all. It's fucking, I don't know how accurate the game is.
Right.
But it's just fucking American soldiers getting fucking picked off and killed, and you cannot get past. I'm like, I don't know how Cameron got past that stage. I'm like, okay, even if it wasn't as bad as I was playing, no fucking way. Here are these like fucking 18, 19-year-old kids just getting picked off. Like, it was pretty incredible, like this.
Yeah. Well, some of those battles, they lost like, you know, 80,000 people at some of those battles. It's like crazy.
How many of those guys are left? I mean, not that many, right?
No. They've got to be, I think, you know, these are guys that are in their
90s, right?
In their 90s, yeah. So, yeah. And the Ken Burns thing is pretty cool because they do talk to so many people that were And then when they did it, they were able to talk to, they weren't too old to talk to, I guess, whenever he put this together. It must have been maybe 15, 20 years ago, maybe, or something, when that was put together. So this, a lot of the people he was talking to, you know, it was, the interviews were good because the guys weren't too old. So I don't know. I enjoyed it, but, I got to a point where I was just like, all right, I am overwhelmed. I can't. I know we win. I know what the outcome is, and I can't. Yeah, I just can't hang with it any further. So, yeah, it was kind of weird. Okay, so last week we had talked about taking a phone call, and
is this a call-in?
We did
a recorded message.
Yes, we did get a recorded message, and that's funny because I just checked my text message, and my wife is going, it's midnight.
It is midnight. Yeah, yes. We can wrap it up. I mean,
well, you know, let's do this. Let's listen to this. It was kind of a weird call in, but see what you think. What the
all right, I'll do my best to roll with this.
Why are you always playing Eye of the Tiger by Survivor? I mean, I get that's an anthem and it gets you pumped up, but when you hear it every day, it seems like it's commercial for that song. Or maybe you did, maybe you licensed it, and maybe there's, I don't know. Is that the only song that gets you motivated? Like, I like Survivor by Destiny's Child, and I'm Just a Girl by No Doubt gets me pumped up. And I mean, there's a bunch of other songs too. Maybe you could do something besides Eye of the Tiger.
So I don't know.
I'm gonna answer this question. I'm gonna answer it. It's rare that I'm earnest. That song gets me really fucking pumped up. I mean, like, seriously, it's yay. I don't even, honestly, right now I can't even get Eye of the Tiger in my head.
Eye of the Tiger, you can't imagine what that sounds like. I could probably, let's work on this. I think.
Wait, hold on. You can do it. You can pull it up because let me see. I'm going to see if this guy's right. I mean, I don't give a shit if we get arrested. Are we going to get arrested for playing this shit?
We haven't licensed it.
We didn't license it. I don't care. You know what? Really fuck you, Survivor.
And I heard they were going to be.
Now, do we know who that guy is? Is that the guy that called me John? No. Craig?
I don't think so. I'm not
really?
Sure who it is. Yeah.
Huh.
It seemed like somebody else.
Huh.
So, yeah. I don't know.
Oh, shit.
I haven't played this before.
No. He was riffing on some other bullshit. That's good. That was his own thing. I like that. Fuck yeah. I'm in Florida. I'm going to just go outside and have a fight. No, seriously, I'm going to pick a fight.
Cut your hair in a mullet before you go out there.
Yeah.
Get the mullet going on. Cut your t-shirt off.
Yeah.
Around the belly. Get your belly sticking out. Get your mullet.
What other songs did he reference?
What other songs did he reference?
He referenced...
Just a Girl.
Just a Girl. I like that song. He believes. Fucking, yeah. We're just taking requests now. We're just going to play music requests while your wife is summoning you.
Up the street.
Okay, that's great.
Well, you know, you're feeling like shit.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not done. This is just getting started. You can hang up on me. I'm going to fucking just keep going. I'll fucking podcast on my own. How can I live podcast? Can I do that? Fuck that shit. Okay. I was in an Uber on the way home.
Yeah.
And I think her name was Valerie. There were four of us, and she had a 5-star rating. And I don't know much about how many trips she's taken, but whenever I take a fucking Uber with Ray, it becomes a whole thing because I'm an Uber driver, and he's got to tell the driver. Then it becomes a whole. It's a fucking exhausting. He left his phone in the car, so of course it's like he's like, John, we were already home. John, how do I get my phone back? Well, we can't really call her because you don't have your phone, and I'm sure you do not have your login to log in from my website. I was like, I was in the bathroom. Call your phone. It's like, now. That's the quickest thing. Your phone is in her car. Call it. you know, that's logical. And she came back and dropped it off. But she was playing these songs. She was, and Ray loved the songs. And I'm going to play this. I'm going to just play this. This is the song that she was playing. And I was like, holy fuck. I'm not knocking this song, but. Do you remember this song?
Ride the Train?
You know this song? Oh, right. You were in radio. Yeah. Oh, my God. This song, it was 4 minutes and 3 seconds, but it felt like it was fucking 37 minutes. Long as fuck. I was like, oh, my God. I think she did. She was singing along. It was really fucking. But I don't know how to answer that, dude. I mean, we love that song. I can't speak for you. I love that song. And while we've never played it before, I think we need to play it every week. I think we need to play Destiny's Child, Survivor. I think we need to play that fucking whatever. Oh, who's that? I was going to say Crystal Pepsi. Why would I say Crystal Pepsi when referring to No Doubt chick, Gwen Stefani?
Gwen Stefani.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm achy, Colin. I'm achy. And I'm in Florida. And I think I'm going to die in Florida. And that would be the worst thing ever.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is our show. Let's let Mr. Big Voice take us out.
Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoyed Unbecoming of Age. Bonus content at unbecomingofage.com. Subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. Find us on social media at Unbecoming of Age.
And sometimes when we touch,